software design. The goal of CIS 3750 is twofold. By the end of the semester, you should have mastered the learning outcomes of the course, we'll discuss these in the next chapter, and you should have worked with a team to implement a prototype for our community partners. To achieve these goals, we're going to use some tried and tested processes to help us out. In particular, we're going to use a software design process to allow us to break down our community partners' project into manageable chunks. Generally speaking, any design process will begin with problem definition and information collection, followed by brainstorming and developing solutions, gathering feedback, and improving the solution if necessary. Software design processes. As mentioned previously, software design is not a one-size-fits-all activity. There are many different approaches that can be used to structure the development of software, including, but not limited to, the waterfall, spiral, and agile methods. In fact, it is rather likely that you have already learned of some of these processes in other courses, or as part of a job experience. Whether you have or haven't heard of these methods, take some time to follow the provided links to get a better sense of what each is about. Based on your review and/or your previous exposure to software design processes, you may have already noticed something about them. That is, despite the vast array of processes available to us, they share similar stages of development, planning, analysis, design, implementation, testing, and maintenance. And you can probably see how these might align with the general design process that we just described. Of course, the methods and tools used, and the time and attention paid to each of the software design phases may differ from one design process to another. Consider, for example, the case of developing software using either the waterfall or agile approaches. The waterfall process is used to implement a complete software system at once. This is accomplished by assigning significant resources to the planning and analysis phases prior to any implementation. In fact, the planning and analysis phases need to be complete before any such development occurs. During the planning and analysis phases, it is very likely that a complete design document will be developed, including a full list of functional specifications, requirements, definitions, design assumptions, timelines, use cases, UML diagrams, and more. This document is essentially immutable. The Agile method is an iterative approach that uses feedback to improve and redesign whatever system is being built. Developers will work in small teams and in short sprints to build components of a software system. In this case, a full design document might be replaced by a loose set of requirements, coding standards, a collection of use cases, and perhaps a few UML diagrams. Stages of software design. As we've seen, while different software design processes may use different methods or tools to achieve the goal of developing software, we also know that they go through similar stages to do this. You might be wondering, what are the stages, and what does one hope to achieve during them? Planning. During the planning stage, it becomes important to clearly define the problem you are trying to solve. This means that it is very important to do your research. What does research mean? It will depend on the situation. Research might include surveys, focus groups, or informal conversations with your client and/or users to identify their needs. Research could include an investigation that identifies and evaluates how others have approached similar problems, or it could include a review and comparison of competing software. If competing software does exist, you might want to know what it does well and what it doesn't do so well. If you are working for or building your own startup company, research might also involve a market survey. In the case where a client approaches you with a well-thought-out proposal for a piece of software, the research you are required to do could be limited to better understanding the terminology that your client uses. Whatever the case, it's a good thing to really know the problem and the various factors that inform it so that you can develop the best software solution possible. During this stage, you might also want to identify your resources, both financial, technical, and human. This might include points of contact with the client and within your own organization. Or it could include understanding the budget that is available to complete the project. Once we've completed our research and we know what the problem is, and once we have a sense of the resources available to us, we'll need to begin considering potential solutions. Depending on the problem at hand, this might include brainstorming a new and innovative approach, or it might include a discussion about the best development framework, languages, or platforms that the development team is going to use to create the solution. Of course, planning also involves the process of formalizing the things that our software is going to do, which might be represented by a formal set of requirements, user stories, or use cases, as well as who on the team might be responsible for completing them. It includes setting timelines, perhaps identifying coding practices, and setting budgets. What planning doesn't include is coding. Analysis. Formally, the analysis stage is when we critically analyze the solution and our development plan. It includes those times when we ask questions like, is this required for the project? Do we understand what the client wants? Do we have enough time to complete the project? Do we have sufficient resources to implement this? While the analysis stage and the planning stage are listed as unique stages, the reality is that they often overlap. This overlap is due to the fact that as we conduct our research to better understand the problem and identify potential solutions, we often need to rethink, reconsider, or reevaluate what we are doing. It's not unusual to imagine one particular solution, only to find out that it won't quite work after learning a new detail from our client. As software developers, we need to be flexible to these changes. And of course, depending on the design process you are using, any analysis may overlap with the other stages as well. It's not unusual to assume a particular solution makes sense, only to find out after we start designing it that it's just not going to work. Finally, the analysis stage might also include conversations about such things as security and privacy, and the potential unintended consequences, and subsequent strategies required to mitigate said unintended consequences related to the solution you are designing. For more information on this, check out the ACM's Future of Computing Academy's It's Time to Do Something, Mitigating the Negative Impacts of Computing Through a Change to the Peer Review Process. In short, the analysis stage represents any points in the development process where we stop and reflect on what we are doing and why we are doing it, and any time we critically assess the solution, our methods, our implementation, or the outcomes they might produce. Design. The design stage moves beyond simply planning and analysis. In this stage, we begin the process of turning ideas into action, or in other words, building prototypes. How we do this will depend on the complexity of the project and on the resources available. Prototyping or building models is an incredibly important part of the software design process. It helps us identify questions we may still have about the client's needs, and it helps us formalize our potential solution. It's also a great way to communicate with our clients. It allows us to show them that we understand what their problem is. It allows us to demonstrate a well-thought-out solution, and it allows us to include them in the design process. For many of you, the idea of prototyping probably evokes sketches of a website or a mobile app, or perhaps a mock-up of the solution that has been created using a software package. However, prototypes are more than just a representation of the user interface. Prototypes can and should be considered for the database and for the functionality of the program. Depending on the design process you are following, and depending on the resources you have available to you, the design stage may include developing storyboards, paper prototypes, wireframes, UML diagrams, pseudocode, or more. And the design process will likely also include conversations with the client to verify and validate the design ideas you have. This serves to keep the client informed and feeling part of the design process, and therefore feeling some sort of ownership of the project, as well as giving you and the design team an opportunity to correct any wrong assumptions. A major outcome of this stage includes some form of design document. Implementation. The implementation stage is when you'll move from design and prototyping to actually building the software. In other words, this is when you'll focus your efforts on coding. This stage includes implementing all elements of the project, which may mean building the database, the API, the user interface, the stack, or more. This stage also includes monitoring the implementation. This is done using tools such as Gantt charts, burn-down charts, stand-up meetings, and more to ensure that the project remains on target and on time. That isn't to say that things won't go wrong or that corrective actions won't need to be made. But ultimately, this is the time when you'll spend your time building the thing that you've taken so much care to design. More than likely, you'll probably also have several touch points with the client during this stage to let them know where you are in the design process, any challenges or questions that remain, and any feedback you require. This stage will likely also include conversations and updates to team velocity and productivity, which may require follow-up conversations with the client. Testing. While testing is identified as its own stage, the reality is that you should begin testing at the very beginning of the project. In fact, any critical analysis of the process is, in essence, a test of what you are building. Yes, testing includes formal unit tests and edge case considerations for the code you have developed, but it also includes testing your assumptions and questioning what you think you know about the client's problem and the solution that you've built. Do not wait to test. Maintenance. The last stage of software design is maintenance. Typically, software continues to evolve after its initial release. Bugs will be identified that were somehow missed during the testing stages, use cases will come to light that were never considered before, or situations will change that will require the software to be reconsidered. This could include a change to standards, technology, practices, or laws that govern your software. Take, for example, the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act. Whatever the reason for the maintenance, new versions of your software will likely be developed to correct bugs, allow for updated features, improve functionality and the user experience, or keep it relevant to your clients and users. The bottom line is that most software is likely never complete, and thus allotting time to maintain it becomes an essential part of the software design process. You'll notice, however, that the software design process is presented as a cycle. That's because in some software design processes, you'll repeat some or all of these stages in iterations. It's also important to remember that these stages aren't necessarily independent of the other. There will be many cases where things will become slightly blurred, with activities from multiple stages happening at the same time, where CIS 3750 and software design meet. As mentioned previously, CIS 3750 is an introductory software design course. However, it has a very specific focus, with at least two of the three major topics evident in its name: systems analysis and design in applications. The focus of CIS 3750 is on the first three stages of the software design process: planning, analysis, and design. This means that the things you'll learn in this course will help you and your team to effectively understand the problem you are trying to solve, and then work to develop a plan of action to make it happen. This is often a source of frustration for many students who typically want to dive into coding. This is a very natural instinct, especially when we are first presented with a problem to solve. However, in CIS 3750, we're going to have to control this instinct so that we can take our time to fully understand the problem we are trying to solve, critically and carefully identify a solution, and then methodically develop our plan to implement said solution. Where do software design processes come from? A software design process is, in essence, a game plan or best practice for designing software. That is, a software design process isn't just invented out of thin air. Instead, it evolves out of numerous case studies that describe, among other things, what was being designed and how this was identified and verified, the processes, methods, and tools used to design, implement, and test the solution, a transparent outline of the successes and failures faced along the way, and an outline of the challenges, both solved and remaining, faced during the process of creating software. At some point in time, someone notices that a significant number of case studies seem to describe very similar design approaches for similar projects, with most resulting in successful software development. However, successful was defined and measured. It's at this point that the case studies are synthesized into a process that describes the best practices for achieving software design success, and a name is ascribed to said process. That's not to say that the selection of a particular software design process is going to guarantee success or prevent any issues or challenges from arising along the way. They don't, and they can't. They do, however, provide us with the collective knowledge and experiences of many developers who have faced similar challenges and have identified and packaged their best advice in the form of the software design process. Selecting the best software design process. So, you might be wondering, how do I select the most appropriate software design process for my project? Despite the fact that software design processes share similar stages, each of them has its own set of pros and cons. As hinted at earlier in this section, some methods are great for large-scale enterprise-type systems, while others are great for smaller software projects. The choice to use a particular method relies on a number of factors, and in some cases, personal philosophies and preferences. While we won't get into a formal discussion here about the most appropriate design process to use in any particular situation, we will return to this discussion throughout the course. Specifically, for every tool that we will learn about in CIS 3750, we'll consider potential situations where it might be best used to develop software.